Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I will say this, that if nobody in the Steelers organization said a single thing about Le'Veon Bell during this process other than we look forward to getting him back, and that was the only comment, he would have been in at some point this past week.
Fan Hotline brought to you by Wright Automotive, the best deal in town. That's where we find Hall of Fame football writer ClaytonFootball.com's John Clayton. That voice you heard there, Adam Schefter, who said this week that if the Steelers players and organization had just zipped their lips, Le'Veon Bell would have showed up this week. Now, John, that doesn't come from one of our yin-yang callers. That comes from Adam Schefter, who's got like 7 million Twitter followers. So how much stock do you put in that? Does that seem credible to you, realistic, that hurt feelings, it got personal, that's the reason why Bell didn't show up?
No, I don't buy it. I think that, again, his mistake in the whole process is what did this. I mean, the fact that, they were getting close to doing it, and I know that, they were thinking about coming in, but I think when the Steelers came back and they said, listen, we're going to keep the exempt list on you for 2 weeks and you're not going to get paid, so your 6 paychecks are going to be down to 4. I think that was the final straw, but that's the strategy if you're the Steelers you got to take. Because, again, he's the one who made a mistake by holding out. He's the one that, betrayed his teammates by not coming there. So I put this more on him than anything else. I mean, yeah, the nastiness was there. The bad relationship was there. But, to put the cause on the Steelers, I don't buy that.
John, do you think there's any more veracity then to the idea that I think Mike Freeman wrote about, that there might be a handshake deal that Bell already has in place, a hypothetical deal? We wouldn't want tampering to happen in the NFL with another team next year?
I doubt that. Because, again, there's so many complications that you don't know about. I'm sure that if you're the agent, you have to make some contacts with teams. But then the problem is, the teams that you might want to go with may not have the cap room to be able to do anything. Because what you're looking at is teams like, I'm sure he would rather go to Houston, go to Philadelphia, but is he going to have a handshake deal with the Oakland Raiders, New York Jets, or Tampa Bay Buccaneers? I don't get the feeling he wants to go to a losing team, and the winning teams are going to be, not that cap-friendly. So if he has any kind of a deal, it's going to be a sub-deal compared to what the Jets would pay, and would you be wanting to take a handshake deal with like 3 fingers that'll be bent over? I don't think so.
I don't even know if the people that would give him the handshake deal now are going to be there next year, right, John?
Agreed. Because, what you have to wonder about is what is his true interest in the game itself? Because by him not being there, it's one that puts him in a spot where it's like, what is a team? You don't know what you're going to be getting. And that's got to be a concern to whatever team is. And again, it's still the running back position. And the running back position is one that still hard to get the paychecks. I mean, you've got the 2 guys that were able to get it, but is Le'Veon Bell going to be able to get what Todd Gurley was able to get? I tend to doubt it by not playing.
If the Jets in Vegas thinks this, if the Jets are the overwhelming favorite, John, give me a dark horse team. Give me a team that if it's not the New York Jets, Bell will sign with this offseason.
Well, that's the thing. It's like knowing how stubborn he can be. There'll be offers, but again, will he sign it? I mean, Indianapolis would be a good team for him to go with, but Chris Ballard's not interested in paying more than $13 million for a running back. That's just not his nature. And then Tampa Bay could be in the mix, but again, is that going to be a team that's going to be any good? It's going to go through a coaching change, and then the Oakland Raiders, does he really want to go? I'm sure he can put a call out to Martavius Bryant, and Bryant would talk him out of coming to the Raiders. And then after that, you start running out of teams.
John, at the end of the day, do you think that Le'Veon Bell gets a deal that's anywhere close to $30 million guaranteed, something where he feels like this was worth it in the end? I know that I'm asking you to project how he feels. Do you think he gets anything that's a respectable number?
Well, if he splits his desires, I mean, he can win on one side or the other side. I mean, if he wants the $14 to $15 million a year, he may not get the full guarantees. If he takes a little bit less, then I think he can get the guarantees. Like, for example, if let's say he does a 3-year deal at 39, I think he can get the 30. Because usually the way guarantees work, And, of course, it didn't work for the Steelers because they upped the offer as far as giving the higher average. But, he wanted both. I mean, he wanted the guarantees and that. Normally it's going to be two times the average. And then sometimes what you do is you increase, if you had a little bit less on the average, you increase the guarantee. So, on a $13 million deal, it would be about 26. Because most teams still, like the Steelers and others, would rather have it 1 year, particularly at a position like running backs, that you can be out of it very quickly or age could hit you very quickly. So he can have one or the other. He just can't have both.
We're talking to John Clayton here on 93.7 The Fan. John, you were working in the NFL and covering the sport when John Riggins sat out a year. And then he came back and said, I'm bored and broke and I want to play football again. And a couple of years later, he's leading the league in touchdowns and he's the MVP of the Super Bowl. Can you see, from Le'Veon Bell's perspective, not just the money he gets, but in terms of production and performance, do you think this story has a happy ending for him?
I don't think. I mean, he's still somebody's going to pay him, so it's not going to be a totally sad ending. But in the end, I think he's never going to be able to recoup the $14.5 million that he's lost. And that, of course, kind of dampens what the story's going to be. And then the other part of it is, if he has to, sell his services to a bad team and sit there and, get years of losses but get money, is he going to be happy about that? I mean, again, I don't know where Philadelphia stands on it, and I don't know where the Houston Texans stand on it. I think those would be the two teams that it could be a happier ending. But again, it's still going to probably be a little bit less in the dollars than he could get from the Jets.
John, I want to pivot from Le'Veon Bell here for a minute, and I want to talk about something that happened last night in the NFL. One coach did not, as I like to say, bathe himself in glory in that Seahawks-Packers game, and it was Mike McCarthy. This might seem like a ridiculous question on its face. Who is the better coach, Marvin Lewis or Mike McCarthy?
Mike McCarthy, because the difference is that Mike's won playoff games and has been to the Super Bowl. Marvin Lewis is a good coach, but he's 0-7 in playoff games. But having, really standing for 3 hours within 20 feet of Mike McCarthy, I just feel for him because, one, I respect the guy. He's Western Pennsylvania. He's a good guy. And now I think he's probably going to be losing his job at the end of the season. I think there's a decent chance he could end up in Cleveland, and I can guarantee he's going to get 3 to 4 offers by other teams. But it was sad to see, Aaron Rodgers just kind of staring out there when they didn't do the 4th and 2, which he should have done, particularly as beat up as the defense is.
Well, that's why I bring it up, and I know that's why it seems, he's a Super Bowl champion, but shouldn't there be almost penalty points for not having done more so far career long with Aaron Rodgers than the one Super Bowl that they got almost a decade ago?
Pretty much, yeah, because, I mean, here you're having one of the greatest quarterbacks all time, and you watched the Stros last night. They were just incredible,
yep.
Particularly in the first half. And then, and this is – Mike gets himself into a bind like this because I know at halftime he told Aaron Andrews that it's like, I want to make sure I run the ball more. Well, it's like, how do you run the ball more when you run it 8 times in the first half and 5 times in the second half? That's not running it more. It's running it less. And all of it did, it put, Aaron Rodgers in a position where, he gets sacked 4 times out of 5. And so – and he has a tendency to kind of get away from the run when he wants Aaron Rodgers to pass. But, you're right. He should have gotten more out of Aaron Rodgers. But right now, that's why the penalty is probably going to be him looking for a new job next year.
You can follow us on Twitter at 93.7 The Fan, driven by Shorty Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. You can follow John on Twitter at John Clayton NFL. John, do you see some chinks in the Patriots' armor after their loss to the Titans? Is that pupil-beating teacher, or is that something broader and bigger we should look at from that loss?
Well, it's not devastating, but I think we're starting to see the beginning of the end of Tom Brady. Again, that still means he can probably go 2-3 more years, but he's not making some of the throws that he's made even as late as last year. That's starting to dissipate, and I think you can see the wear down of Woodland Hills' Rob Gronkowski because the injuries are taking away him from the field and also taking away from the incentives. And, the difference is when Gronk would miss, it was usually a 7-point difference in what the team was able to do. That difference isn't there now because Gronk is a little bit older and more beaten up. But what you're seeing is that they don't have playmakers on defense, so they have to rely very much on what Tom Brady does. And some of the throws that he can make before aren't there. Now, again, you can see a little bit of that last year in Drew Brees. But Drew has bounced back and has had one incredible MVP-type year. But I think you're starting to see the beginning of the end. Still, there's still more to play, more chapters in this book. But he's showing a little bit of the age right now.
John, is it paramount for New England? Like, if they end up as the 3 seed or worse, in the AFC, which the anything worse than the three really seems out of the realm of possibility. But if they don't get that first round bye, do you think that all but excludes them realistically from making a run to another Super Bowl?
Well, I mean, it doesn't eliminate them because you can't. I mean, you can never doubt sometimes Bill Belichick and what Tom Brady can do because he can get hot. But I think it really dampers it, and I think the likelihood is that they don't get to the Super Bowl because now they have to go on the road, which is more difficult. And that's why, you know, for the last several years, it was always going to be, okay, what do the Steelers need to do to get that home field away from the Patriots? And unfortunately for the Steelers, they weren't able to do it. Nobody's been able to do it for the most part. And because, I mean, again, you watched a couple years ago when an aging Peyton Manning was able to kind of slip one by the Patriots and get that win, and I think that could be the same thing. It's different for them on the road. They have everything going for them at home, and right now the talent's a little bit less than it was a couple of years ago, and I think, you know, I just can't see them winning two road games.
Who wins on Sunday, Steelers or Jags?
Oh, it'd be the Steelers. I mean, right now the Jags are just they're bad. I mean, the defense is looking bad. I mean, let's put it this way, and you know there's going to be a revenge factor because, I mean, the Steelers and Mike Tomlin, remember what, they lost to them twice last year. They're not going to let that happen again. The defense is vulnerable. You get the bad Blake Bortles, not the good Blake Bortles. And right now, you know, Doug Marrone, his job might be in jeopardy too. So, no, I think it's going to be the Steelers.
All right, John, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thanks,
John.
I'll talk to you next week. Chris's wife is due in the next few hours. He's going to have his first child, so it'll probably just be the two of us.
Hey, congratulations.
Thank you. Appreciate it, John.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.